about it. He's worthy of the praise this morning. All right, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter number 2, not hard to find. Say amen when you found it and we'll know that you're there. Matthew chapter 2. We're just going to look at the first two verses this morning. And the Lord spoke to my heart and gave me this message and I wrote it down. And I pray the Lord will it'll be a blessing to our hearts this morning. Matthew chapter number 2. And notice what it says. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For he has seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now we're going to look at that one little phrase and verse number 2 where it says, where is he? And that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. Where is he? Where is he this morning? Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless your word. And Father, as the wise men came asking this great question, where is he? Lord, that's a good question we could ask in the day in which we live. Where is he this morning? Where is Jesus Christ? Where is the Holy One of Israel? Where is God, the Savior of the world? Lord, I pray as you preach on this thought this morning that the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, would provoke us all unto good works. And that the Holy Spirit of God would, Lord, speak to all of our hearts about how we live our life for you. And God, I pray if there's any loss today, that today would be the day of salvation for the child of God. So many times we waver when it comes to our faith and our stand. God, help us to have courage this morning and courage this Christmas season to take a stand for your name and for your honor and glory. And Father, we will thank and praise you for all that you're going to do. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as we preach on this little thought, we know that the wise men had come a long way seeking the Christ child. They'd come a long way seeking to find the one that had been prophesied his coming. They had come a long way looking for the king of the Jews. And when they came to Herod, they came into the palace there and said, hey, we have seen his star in the east. We're come to worship him. And they said, where is he? Where is this king of the Jews? You see, they were looking for a man. Thank God they were looking for a man. Thank God Jesus Christ was the man. Amen. He was a man, no doubt about that. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation any other, for there's another name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. They weren't looking for Buddha or Muhammad or Confucius or anyone the like. They were looking for the man, Christ Jesus. And they said, and where is he? Thank God. They were looking for the mediator, the one that would go between man and God, to bring man unto God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. They were looking for the man. They were looking for the mediator. They were looking for the monarch. It said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? In John chapter 19, when Jesus Christ was crucified, Pilate put that title upon the cross, and this is what it said, and he put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, hallelujah. And that's who they were looking for. They were looking for the Messiah. Christ's coming wasn't only for the Jews, but it was for the whole world. Thank God, and the wise men understood that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you look in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, he prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter number 42, and in verse number 1, as Isaiah prophesied, and as these wise men no doubt knew of this prophecy, remember Isaiah was a prophet to the nations. If you read Isaiah's prophecy, he went around and prophesied of all the different countries and what God was going to do with them. And in Isaiah chapter 42 now, and in verse number 1, it says, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to who? To the Gentiles, hallelujah. And it was for the whole world, for the Jews and to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that createth the heavens and stretcheth them out, and he that spreadeth forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people and upon him, and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will uphold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass. New things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song. His praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities therefore lift up their voice in the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His praise in the islands. Let me tell you something. They were looking for the Messiah. And Revelation in chapter 19, when Jesus Christ comes, the Bible says He comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, hallelujah, to rule over the entire earth. And the wise men said, where is He? Where is this man they call Christ Jesus? Where is this one that is born King of the Jews? Now, notice where is he? But what I want to notice for a few minutes is not where He is, or was, but where He wasn't. You know, absence in Christ in our society has really caused a problem in the day in which we live. Absence of Christ in the world has brought the world to a turbulent time. No doubt about it. And in Jesus Christ Day, the wise men come, and they come to Herod's palace, but notice, He wasn't there. They came to the palace. It says there that in verse number 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men came from the east Jerusalem saying, where is He that is born King of the Jews? We have seen His star in the east, and we are come to worship Him. And when the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. Hey, they had come to the palace, Herod's palace, expecting to find Jesus, but He wasn't there. He wasn't in the seat of government. Verse 4 says, and when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. Now you think about it for a minute. They come to the seat of government and they can't find him there. I don't know if you listened to President Trump's speech yesterday, but it was hilarious. And I listened to it on the radio for a little bit. And I liked a couple things that he said. He said, well, what did he say? In Pensacola, he said this, the American people don't worship government. The American people worship God. I said, hallelujah for that. We do not worship government. Hallelujah. And it made sense that you wouldn't find Jesus Christ at Herod's palace because the hope is not in the government. The hope is in God. Hallelujah. You think about it a minute. What was it that all the Herods wanted in the day in which they lived? They wanted to be worshipped. And they couldn't stand the fact that the wise men had come to worship someone else. What does government want today? Government wants to be worshipped. Government wants to be all powerful. Government wants to have the final say. Government wants to take you from the cradle to the grave. And see, God is not in government. God is in other places, and thank God that He is this morning. If you look in Acts chapter number 12, you have a story of Herod's grandson. And Herod's grandson was just like Herod. You say, what did he want? He wanted to be worshipped. No doubt about it. If you look at Acts chapter number 12, in Acts chapter 12, you have the story of Herod, and he puts to death James, the brother of John. And Herod's an evil man. And he set himself up as some great person. Notice what it says in verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And he was going to kill Peter. And we know that story. Now look at towards the end of the chapter here and skip Skip on down to verse number 21 and notice what it says. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a voice, a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." That's what Herod wanted. He wanted to be worshipped as a God. And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eating up the worms and gave up the ghost. You say, what did the Herods want? They wanted worship. What do most political people want? They want worship. They said, "Don't you know who you're talking to? Don't you know who I am? I mean, don't you know that, hey, I'm the most powerful person in the world? Hey, I'm glad that Donald Trump doesn't go around saying he's the most powerful person in the world. You know who the most powerful person in the world is? Jesus Christ, hallelujah." Now, our former president thought he was the most powerful person in the world. And a few others have thought that. But let me tell you, there's only one room for God in this world, and that is for Jesus Christ. Thank God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's why God killed Herod and smote him of the worms. You say, what was that? You ever hear of the flesh-eating disease where the worms eat people and they die within hours? Well, Herod died within seconds because he was eaten of the worms. God can tolerate no rivals. And when he stood up and gave that oration and made himself God, God killed him immediately. His grandfather Herod was no different. Right after Herod killed all the children in Bethlehem, you know what happened to Herod? He died. And God killed him. You say, why? Because he wanted to be God. The wise men said, "Where is he?" But see, he wasn't in Herod's palace. He couldn't be found. And Herod was troubled. You know, it's sad today because the Savior Jesus Christ can't be found in government anymore. You know, it's against government policy to pray in Jesus' name. And our chaplains that we have in the government and people that preside over government, they're forbidden to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I realize since Donald Trump has taken over, things have been a little different. And thank God they have. Because I'm telling you, the only access we have to God is in the name of Jesus Christ. It's in the name of Jesus. What did Jesus say? "If you ask my Father anything in my name, it will be done for you." Could you imagine if we couldn't pray in the name of Jesus this morning? I mean, would it do any good to pray for Brother Bill if we can't ask in Jesus' name? Would it do any good to pray for Riley if we can't pray in Jesus' name? Would it do any good to pray for Grace if we can't pray in Jesus' name? The Bible says we have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. Thank God that is through Jesus Christ and in His name. You know, I'm glad it still says on our money, "In God we trust." There's a faction that has wanted to remove that for years and years and years off of our currency. They want to remove God out of our government completely, and they've done a good job of it. But it's sad. When the wise men said, "Where is he?" He wasn't in Herod's palace. And it's sad because he's not, much of Jesus Christ isn't left in our government today. What did Peter and John tell the cripple at the beautiful gate? He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." When the people complained about it, what did Peter and John say? He says, "Hey, don't look at us like we've done it. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we did this." See, the name of Jesus Christ is a powerful name. And the wise men said, "Where is he?" But see, he wasn't with Herod in the palace. It's sad. I want you to notice where else he wasn't. He wasn't in a hotel in Jerusalem. He wasn't. Look in Luke chapter number 2. Look in Luke chapter number 2. That's the Christmas story in Luke chapter number 2. And it's a familiar story. You should read it every year. And you should read it on Christmas morning. But in Luke chapter 2 and in verse number 1, Joseph and Mary, they make their journey to Jerusalem. And here's what it says. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as a spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Now notice why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. He wasn't in the hotel in Jerusalem. You see, the station of society would not accept Jesus Christ. They would not accept Joseph and Mary. There was no room in the inn. And let me say, there is little room for Jesus in our society. Isn't that the truth? There is little room for Jesus in our society. People don't want him in public. They don't want him in plain sight. They don't want him to be part of their life. You get on the street corner, you start preaching, you start passing out tracts, you start telling people about Jesus Christ, and you know what they say? That belongs in the church. That belongs in the building. Hey, if you want to witness, you want to worship, they say, public is not, out in public is not the place for it. Can I ask you, where did Jesus Christ do all his ministry? In public. That's right. Where did he do his preaching? Where did he do his miracles? It wasn't in secret. It wasn't in the temples. It wasn't away in hid places. No, it was on the hillsides and the cities and the villages for all to see. When Jesus Christ was brought before Caiaphas, and they asked him, he says, who are you? And what do you say of yourself? He said, ask the people. I haven't done anything in a corner. Ask them. And they smote Jesus upon the mouth for saying that. It was there for all people to see. You know, I wonder, if the wise men came today, could they find Jesus in East Ridge? Can they find him in Chattanooga? Can they find him in Rossville? Can they find him in Ringgold? Can they find him in Fort O? I think Jesus Christ would be hard to find in most places. If they came today, would they say, well, where is he? Where is Jesus Christ? This is the Bible Belt. Where is he? That's a good question. Where is Jesus? We're going to find out on Thursday night. He's probably not down at City Hall. He's probably not down at in some of these places. Remember when they want to take prayer out of the commission? Said, you can't pray at the commission. You can't pray down there. Well, why can't we pray down there? Hey, Jesus Christ isn't for just in a corner in a building somewhere. Jesus Christ is for every aspect and facet of public life. Amen. What did Jesus say? Go into the highways and the byways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Jesus Christ is not something that's just for private individuals. Jesus Christ is for all the world. Thank God that he is. But see, he wasn't in Herod's palace. He wasn't in a hotel in Jerusalem. Herod's palace. Hey, you think about it for a minute. That's the seat of government. He wasn't there. Jerusalem was the station of society. He wasn't there. Notice where else he wasn't this morning. He wasn't in the holy temple. You think he'd have been in the holy temple. You think if God came, that he would go to the holy temple. But he wasn't there. That was the state of God's position. Notice what it says back in Matthew. Look at verse number 4. And when they gathered together the chief priests, the scribes, and the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. See, the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests didn't even know that he had come. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not thou least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired them of diligently what time the star appeared. Hey, he wasn't in the temple. The priest didn't know where he was. You know, it's sad. You read over there in Revelation 3 and in verse number 20. Where do you find Jesus in the last days? He's on the outside of the church, knocking at the door, trying to get in. Where is Jesus? You know, I dare say you wouldn't find him in a lot of churches this morning. Where is Jesus? He's on the outside trying to get in. What do you think would Jesus would do if he came to his house suddenly, like he did at his first coming? What do you think he'd do? Look in John chapter 2. What did Jesus do when he went down to the temple there as an adult? What did Jesus do when he saw what was taking place in John chapter 2? Look on over there. In John chapter 2, and in verse number 13, Jesus comes to his house, and he sees what's taking place, and notice what his response was. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen, sheep, doves, and changers of money sitting. You say, Brother Chris, how come we don't sell things at church? Because the church is not a place of business. The church is the house of God. So we're not going to sell hamburgers and hot dogs, and we're not going to, I don't like anything to be sold at church. Hallelujah, we ought to give it all away, amen. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said to them that sold doves, take these things hence and make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. You say, what did he do? He got mad and overturned the tables, turned the place upside down, and made a whip and drove all those wicked people out of there. We look in Malachi chapter number 3. Just look on over to Malachi there, the last book of the Old Testament. And notice what it says about Christ coming to his temple, about Messiah coming and what would happen when he came. And in Malachi 3 and in verse number 1, notice what it says. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare thy way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Let me ask you something. What would God say if he came into the average rock and roll church on a Sunday morning? If he suddenly came in the back door, do you think he'd be pleased with that? Do you think he'd be pleased with the strobe lights and the dark walls and the sensual attitude, the bar-like attitude, atmosphere that's taking place? We were at a church in Cincinnati and went in there. God's honest truth. The place is painted dark purple with strobe lights in the ceiling. And over top the baptistry, they have the band. And it was a rock and roll service. And it says, come in and feel good. Family, fun, and fellowship. Come in and feel good. I wonder if you could find Jesus Christ in that place. I wonder if the wise men came, what they'd say. Where is he? Where is this Jesus Christ? Is that worship? Is that the kind of thing that would be pleasing to God? I wonder if we went down to the cinema here in East Ridge. They have a service down there at the cinema. I know a man who goes there. And they show a movie every Sunday. And they drink Coke and have popcorn. And they have a rock concert. Then they see the movie. And he says, Brother Chris, it's cool. It's so cool. We rock it out. We rock it out. And then we watch a movie. And then the preacher says something for 10 minutes. I wonder if we could find Jesus there. Now, the man's Catholic. He's lost. He's going to hell. But he said, I promised my wife I would keep my kids in church. And it's so cool when you go down there and watch a movie and hear the music play. You know what? He doesn't need to be cool. He needs Holy Ghost conviction upon his life. Amen. He needs to hear what thus saith the Lord. He needs to hear, hey, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. He needs to hear the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He needs to hear what Jesus said, and when Jesus said it, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? But see, when you're eating your popcorn and drinking your Coke, and listening to the music and watching a nice movie, and what did the wise men say? Where is he? Where is he? Where is Jesus in all of that? He said, well, we have 700 people in every service and we have 3 services. Well, sure. Would you pay $30 for your whole family to see a movie and get a popcorn and a Coke? Do the math. What have they made Christianity? A business. Now look, we could make millions anytime we wanted to. But then we'd be a business and not a what? Church. There's a difference between a business and a church. You know why Jesus threw the people out? Because you said you've made God's house a place of merchandise. Do we pay for entertainment? Well, yes. Do you pay? Is your cable TV free? Last time I checked, it wasn't. Right? And that cable bill is always going up, right? I don't care if you got EBP. I don't care if you got Dish. I don't care if you got, what's that other one? Comcast, or if you got the other one, DirecTV. It's not free. You pay for that. It's called entertainment. You say, Brother Chris, I am not feeling entertained. Good. You don't come to church to get entertained. You come to hear the Word of God preached and feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost is why you come. See, the wise men just thought, hey, we'll go to the palace. He'll be there. He wasn't there. They said, hey, we can't find him in the hotel. He ain't there. Hey, we'll go to the holiest of holies. We'll go to the temple. But he wasn't there. Where is Jesus today? Not anywhere he should be. He should have been in Herod's palace. They should have made room for him in the inn. Hallelujah. Hey, he should have been in the house of God. The wise men couldn't find him. You know, God said in the last days we'd be living in exactly what we're living in. He said people we love were people we love are pleasure more than lovers of God. I wouldn't call a movie service a worship service. I wouldn't call a rock and roll service a worship service. They got a big thing not far from here. 3 services. Someone who goes there was telling me about it. I said, well, tell me what they do there. He said, it's cool. We go in there and we have, man, the band plays and they play for an hour. And then the guy get up and says something for 10 minutes and we go home. Is that worship? How many of you have ever been to a rock and roll concert in your life? Anybody here ever been to a rock and roll concert? Would you call that worship? Worship of the devil, yes, but worship of God? That's not how God worships. And I think to myself, where is Jesus today in the day in which we live? Where is Jesus? The wise men came saying, where is he? Where is he that's born King of the Jews? You know, there's one place we ought to be able to find Jesus all the time. It's not in Herod's palace. It wasn't in a hotel. It wasn't in the holiest of holies. He wasn't there. But where can we find him today? Where should we find Jesus? In our hearts. Thank God we ought to be able to find God in our hearts. But you know, to find God in your heart, you know what you have to do? You have to make room for Jesus in your heart. There is very little room for Jesus in people's hearts today. You got to make room for Him. You got to make room for Him in your life. You got to make room for Him in your schedule. You got to make room for Him. You know why so many folks are not here this morning? Because they didn't make room for Jesus. I mean, they made time for everything and everyone, but they made no room for Jesus in their life. Or they'd be here this morning. Hey, they had time to go to the movies, and they had time to go to the mall, and they had time to do the things they do. But they had no time for Jesus. They made time in their schedule to sleep. They made time in their schedule to stay up late. They made time in their schedule for work and everything else, but they made no room for Jesus. See, God wants the place in our heart. You know, if Herod had Jesus in his heart, then Jesus would have been in the palace. If they'd have had Jesus in their heart, they'd have made room for Him in the end. Hallelujah. If they'd have had Jesus in their heart, hey, He'd have been welcome into His temple. Who got mad every time Jesus went to the temple? The priest and the Pharisees. What are you doing here messing things up for us? Of all places for someone to be healed, wouldn't the temple be a good place to do it? But every time Jesus healed someone in the temple, who got mad? The priest did. The Pharisees did. You know, it's funny. You can be out witnessing and giving out gospel tracts and preaching. You know who always gets mad? So-called Christians. The sinners aren't getting mad. Matter of fact, most of the times, the sinners are trembling. Most of the time, hey, the sinners are interested. They're a little curious. You know what's funny? When I went down and spoke at the city council. You know, one of the first persons to criticize was a so-called Christian from another church. And they said, "You have no right to judge us. You have no right to say this is wrong. And I don't think you speak for every Christian." I hope she is a Christian. I got my doubts. But do you see what the problem is? Where is Jesus today? You got Jesus in your heart this morning? The Bible says, "What saith that the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thine heart, the word of faith that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Is Jesus Christ in your heart this morning? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you going to heaven when you die? Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus in your life? Herod had no room for Jesus. And just after he killed all the children in Bethlehem, God killed him and he went to hell. Sadly enough, his grandson, who came to power and put to death James, the brother of John, and would have killed Peter had he been able, God miserably killed him and he went to hell. See, there was no room for Jesus in his life. You got any room in there for Jesus? Where is he? If the wise men came in and broke in the back door this morning and said, "Where is he?" What would you say? "He's right here in my heart, brother." That's what I'd say. He's right here in my heart. Can you say that this morning? Is Jesus in your heart?